Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. My co-host, Dr. Les Olala, is away on a ministry venture, but in his place is a guest host, very familiar to those of you who listen regularly to the broadcast, Dr. Marty Vaughn. Marty, it's always good to have you back on the broadcast.
Thank you. I enjoy it. I enjoy being here all the time with you and Doc O, and we get to be together at the three of us. It's good to be sitting in his place for a while today.
You know, we've been right in the middle of a very interesting discussion that we began in our last broadcast on the nature and the way the Bible talks about resolving conflicts.
Yes, and we promised that in this broadcast we were going to delve into that. And there's one verse. It's really a neat capsule verse in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, verse 18. And the idea of the verse certainly is what? If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace
with all
everyone
men.
And with all men.
And those of you listening to the broadcast today and who may not have joined us in last broadcast that we had together, you can go to our website, www.thewordforlife.org, and you can download the last broadcast, the first broadcast in this series on resolving conflict biblically. And we're going to take that verse, Romans 12:18. And unpack that for us, would you today, Marty, please?
I think where we'll start is the idea of Romans 1 through 11 talks about our need for God's mercy. Mm-hmm. And I would like to set this in the context of relationships. To me, if you were to say, what is one major word that life is all about? I would say life is all about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships shape our desires, and our desires shape us. Mm-hmm. Relationships shape how we raise our children. Mm-hmm. Relationship shapes how we function in our marriage. And, of course, the most important relationship we have with our Heavenly Father shapes how we're going to live our life day mm-hmm. by day.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we consider the idea of Romans 1 through 11, we see broken relationships. Obviously, Romans 6, 7, and 8 talks about the war we're at in our relationships, mm-hmm. particularly our relationship with the Lord. And then when we get to Romans 12, it seems here the corner turns, and we are now told what to do because we have the mercy of God. And I like the way Romans 12:1 starts out, because it starts out, I beseech you or urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God.
Mm.
And so to open the story of Romans chapter 12, it opens the story by the mercy of God.
You know, that's interesting you would describe it that way, because would it be fair to say that the first 11 chapters of Romans are a detailed account of what God did to restore a broken relationship that we broke on our end?
That's exactly right.
And that we could never have repaired on our own.
Exactly. In fact, I like to think of it in these terms. I call it the we because of he principle. In other words, we are to do things because of what he did. And that's mm-hmm. just exactly what you described. In other words, we love and obey God. Why? Because he first loved us.
Here's this huge relationship that was broken that God restored. And then we have all these little relationships, all these earthly relationships that we have to now maintain, and that he's given us everything we need to maintain through the relationship that he restored with us by his grace on the cross.
That's right. Just as God restored that vertical relationship, now we are responsible to restore the horizontal relationship. And by the way, to me, this is what drives or motivates us to resolve conflict. In
mm-hmm.
other words—
Well, that's good.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, what we begin to do is, as a pastor, some people may come to you and they may say, Pastor, can you help me get this resolved between my son or my daughter and myself? And what they're looking for is peace and family harmony so that the child doesn't run away or do anything unwise. What they're looking for is peace in their home. A husband and wife are in conflict. They come and they say, we want to get along in our marriage, and it's to make things better for us. And I can understand that from mm-hmm. a human level, but that cannot be what propels me and drives me to get things right between my wife and myself, mm-hmm. between my mm-hmm. son or daughter and myself. Mm-hmm. I have to be driven by this fact, the mercy of God. In other words, this is what God did for me. So I have a responsibility to repair this relationship because of his mercy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it puts a whole different reason.
Oh, sure it does. Sure it does.
In resolving conflict.
Now, how do you go about doing that?
Well, we're going to, if we can get to that as we go on the, later on in the broadcast, let's talk a little bit more about the verse as it unfolds. First, the verse directs us to resolve conflict as much as is within us with every man. So the first idea of the verse is we are asked to reconcile relationships. I'm sure in your experience that you have met people who say, well, I'm just going to wait. I mean, they were mostly at fault. I'm going to wait for them.
Yeah, I didn't start it.
I know.
I shouldn't have to be the one to go.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm listening to the broadcast. You're the counselor guy. I'm not going to necessarily go talk to somebody I know, but I might talk to you because, you know, you're...
You would understand. Maybe you can help
exactly.
me.
All right, so I got this conflict that I didn't start. I didn't ask for it. I didn't do anything to get it. Some idiot person, obviously in love, we
right.
love this idiot
yeah,
in the Lord.
Right.
But this person did it to me. Why should I have to be the one to go make it right to him? Now,
well,
I'm not like, you right. know, that's, you know, I'm just like being brutal honest, I mean, here.
No,
but what?
No, that's exactly right. And that's exactly, you're expressing exactly what people say when they come to you in counseling. And I may not say it as direct because
yeah, don't say it. Let me just say it out loud. Don't say it as direct as that. Well, I'm just saying this is what we think.
We would run out of time to maybe how we would approach it in a counseling setting. But the bottom line is this. I would come to the point where I would say, sir or ma'am, or in this case to you, Dr. Horn, do you want to obey the command of Jesus Christ?
Yes, but I didn't start it. I mean,
that's not the question that I ask. And that's what you have to come back to because, and it's a simple principle in counseling, and here's the principle. As long as you're looking to blame someone else, you'll never be able to resolve the problem that's within you.
Hmm.
As long as you're looking to excuse
yeah.
or to defend yourself,
yeah.
as long as your eyes are on the other person, you'll never be able to handle or resolve the issue that God is getting at in you. See, what you have to recognize is that God is at work in you. No matter what's happening with the other person, mm-hmm. he's always at work behind the scenes. And
boy,
in
and that's so important lives. To keep in mind because here's the other thing that I know happens in my own mind, and that is, okay, I'm going to say this, and then he or she's going to say this, then I'm going to say this back, and then they're
right.
going to say this, and then I'm going to say this. And I play the whole thing out in my head, and I already know how it's going to end, and it isn't going to end good, so why do I even want to start?
That's
it's just
exactly.
easier to keep my mouth shut and endure the relational collateral that comes when I am in conflict with somebody that's in conflict with me.
And that's really comfortable, except there's one problem. It's not biblical, and you have to decide, every listener listening to us has to decide, do I want to operate my life based on how I feel or my own human reasoning, or do I want to operate my life on this reference point of truth called the Word of God?
Mm-hmm.
I will never be satisfied. Oh, I may find a little bit of temporary peace, but I'll never be satisfied in my life. Not only that, but I will go on and be a liability in other relationships.
Right.
So once a conflict is refused to be resolved, it has like a carryover effect that I may not even see. And this person may even walk out of my life or walk away from me. And it may be 2 or 3 years later, but another relationship will come along. And sure enough, another conflict will result. And you and I know people that are in their middle to later years, and they still believe that it's everybody else's problem.
Right. Oh, yeah.
The manager still believes it's all his workers. He can never get any good workers. You and I know people in ministry that are always blaming it on the church members, and they jump
yeah.
from church to church.
Oh, yeah.
There are people.
They never learn to restore relationships
yeah.
properly. Let's stop for a second before you jump into this and make a point of clarification. There are certain kinds of people, and we have a term for them that we use at Brookside, and it's kind of become kind of a code word for it, but we call them card-carrying members of the Speak the Truth and Love Club. And these people are people who, if you do something or say something, even inadvertently, that bothers them, they are going to come and speak the truth and love to you versus just letting it be covered by love.
Right.
How
right.
do you deal with that and differentiate between something that you just need to let go and love because that person wasn't trying to hurt? It doesn't even know. It wasn't certainly a sinful thing, but it just bothered you. They didn't greet you properly, or you said something and they just ignored you, or they cut you off, and now you feel like you got to go confront them.
There's three simple things that I do that I think are healthy to practice, and that's a great question because you find this often in Christian circles where it's like, boy, if you breathe wrong or, like you said, look wrong or don't say the exact words to somebody, they come and want to
speak
correct.
Speak the truth and love. Yeah. They're members of the Speak the Truth and Love
That's
Club.
That's right. They want to correct you for it. First of all, here's what I do. I remember who I am. That I am a person in Christ, and therefore the Bible calls on me to be dead to myself. So if I can say it graciously to you, what I allow that comment to do is go in one ear and out the other, because the Bible asks me to practice being dead to myself and alive to Christ. So I don't allow their simple accusation to control me, because I'm dead to myself and alive to Christ. Mm-hmm. So therefore, right away, that stops any emotional reaction on my part. It stops some thoughts that maybe sometimes I would like to share. It holds me back because it keeps me from doing that. Second, I realize that they have a problem being judgmental. So all of a sudden, I realize that the problem that they have a need. And I think one of the greatest things that has helped me through the years is when I recognize when someone says something that is just off the wall or ridiculous or doesn't even fit
compute,
me, doesn't even compute.
Well, they didn't even know they said it.
After I practice being dead to myself and alive to Christ, then I ask myself, Lord, is there any possibility that I could be offended, or are you teaching me something here? Using these people as crazy as they are and as judgmental as they are to help me correct something in me. But this is the real key. Third, and this is what I was getting to, I see the need in their life. And that brings compassion out of me toward them because I realize, you know what? They have a need that God wants me to pray for them about and try to help them meet. And so all of a sudden, as someone has said, I reverse the charges, but I reverse it with the compassion of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm.